I'm trying to get somewhere that's real and pure and true and eternal. Toby, can you go with your boy? Let's go.
From the Lighthouse Chapel International, Apostle Joel Abobisa will inspire you with anointed, practical, and down-to-earth Bible-based teachings that will refresh, energize, and motivate you to do your best for God. Join the Apostle now as he ministers the Word of God.
Father, we thank you for the opportunity to share the word of God. I pray for your blessing and your help in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Now we're going to continue what I was sharing with you last week. This is our year of the shepherd. Amen. This is the year of the shepherd, and this is the direction that the Lord has given to us as a church, which is that this year we are emphasizing and learning about being a shepherd and becoming a shepherd. Amen. Last week I shared with you why you can become a shepherd. I think I gave you five reasons last week why you can become a shepherd. Now, before that, we read also from the book of John, isn't it? John chapter 21, and we were reading from verse 15, John chapter 21, and from verse 15, when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Okay, and he saith to him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. Okay, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith to him, feed my lambs. Then verse 16, he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. Then verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Amen. So from this passage, we understand that feeding his sheep is very important to Jesus Christ for showing your love for him. Amen. That if you love Jesus, then what, or one of the things he expects you to do is to feed his sheep. Amen. Or tend his sheep. Now, what is the word that we use to describe someone who has the job of tending the sheep or feeding the sheep? That word is the word shepherd, isn't it? Which means that Jesus is saying, if you love me, become a shepherd. Can I have an amen? If you love me, become a shepherd. So this is the year that you're going to prove your love to Jesus, or your love of Jesus Christ, by becoming a shepherd. Can I have an amen? Amen. When you become a shepherd, you prove to Jesus that you love him. And it's important that we prove to Jesus that we love him, you know, according to what he says or interprets as love. What do you think? Yes, not according to what we presume will imply that we love him. But he has laid out what means love or what counts for love for him. Hallelujah. Now, why is it important to love the Lord? Last week, we saw another verse in John chapter 14 and verse 23 that Jesus, this is a very special promise that he makes to people who love him. He says, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. Can you see that? If a man love him, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. You know, it's interesting that we're going to be reading and studying about the presence. Do you see? But God's presence is not with everyone, according to this verse. Isn't it? His presence is not with everyone, you know. And he says that if a man love me, no, go back. He says, if a man love me, you know, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Say amen. Amen. We will come unto. So God's presence with you is invoked by your love for him. Amen. Amen. And when he gives you a tip to show, or a tip as to how to show your love for him, you shouldn't take that tip for granted at all. If he gives you a clue, you see, last week John Jack gave us a clue. You know, Ine wasn't here. You were listening. You were watching us on live stream last week. So you got the clue. So how was this past week? He had food all day. All day. They just laid the table all day. Because, I mean, that's such an important clue. Do you get it? Because most of the time you are struggling, trying to find out what to do to please someone. It's not easy to make people happy. Yeah. You'll be trying to please him. You know, even one day he says this, tomorrow when you do it, he says something else. That's, the whole thing is so difficult. So it's difficult to track it. It's difficult to figure it out. But in this case, he gave a clear clue. And his wife, who was watching, received it and said, Lord, I thank you. You get it. And that's easy. Amen. So if you want to show Jesus that you love him, then become a shepherd. Become a shepherd. Become someone who looks after his sheep. Why wouldn't that be most important to him? That's what he gave his life for. The sheep that are born out of, the Bible says we are his people. The song, the verse of the week, right? It says we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. So the people of God are his sheep. Amen. Amen. And the people of God, to become one of those people of God, you have to go through the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus, the salvation that we have is what makes us people of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And that we obtain through the application of the blood of Jesus Christ to your life. So I'm not surprised that he says that it is when you look after those people that I gave my life for that you prove that you love me. I think it just makes sense. Do you see? Yes, because it is very, very expensive to lay down your life in that way. Do you get it? Yes. Maybe next week I'm going to bring a pin to church. And I'm going to try a pin prick on everyone. Starting with you. You're saying no, yeah. You wouldn't even allow for us to just a little pin prick, and you don't want it. You don't like it. But Jesus gave his life. And anybody who is a product of the application of the blood of Jesus to his life, anybody who is saved by the blood of Jesus is very precious to him. And the people who look after those people also become very precious. to him. Can I have an amen? Amen. The people who look after those people, they become very precious. So to be precious to the Lord, become a shepherd. Amen. That's what we are saying. Amen. Amen. Then we went into why you can become a shepherd. And there are so many reasons. The first one is that all it takes is a desire, isn't it? I want to do it. I want to become a shepherd. Based on the understanding you have, you can have a desire. I want to be a shepherd. I don't know how I will be a shepherd. I just want to be a shepherd. Amen. Number two is that becoming a shepherd is a natural stage of development. That means becoming a shepherd is expected of you anyway. At a certain point in your Christian life, you should become a shepherd. Because we read Hebrews 5:12, it says, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God. So there is a time to be a teacher. Amen. Amen. You can't be the taught forever. At a point, you must be the teacher for others also to learn from you. Say amen. Amen. Number three reason is that there is a great need for shepherds. It's a great need for shepherds. There's a great need for shepherds. There is a great need for shepherds. And whenever there's a great need for something, then more people are invited to join. More people are expected to join. Amen. Today, there are countries like Canada who invite migrants from other countries, you know, to come and live there. Yeah, because at a point they realize there's a great need for people. Do you see? Yes. As people are, you know, reducing their birth rates, you know, and as human beings are giving birth to fewer and fewer children, you know, like a guy and a woman, two people get together and they give birth to one child. So they replace the two with one. Do you see the thing? Yeah. But if you're smart like me, then you replace the two with two and then give a bonus. You get it? And just make a donation. Make a donation to the world. Do you see? Yeah. To make up for those who may decide to fall short. Are you getting the picture? Yeah. So Ini and John Jack, we just want you to understand the word of God this morning. All right. Okay. So, there is a great need for shepherds. I said there is a great need for shepherds. Amen. Number four, God's people are scattered without a shepherd. And then number five, become a shepherd in order to fulfill the Great Commission. Amen. Become a shepherd in order to fulfill the Great Commission. Number six is become a shepherd so you can obtain a good degree. Become a shepherd so you can obtain a good degree. Now that's in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 13. You become a shepherd when you become, or you obtain a good degree when you become a shepherd. It says, for they that have used the office of a deacon well, purchase them to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Amen. You obtain a good degree. A degree is a status. Hallelujah. A degree is a status. And it's saying that when you because a deacon is one of the words, if you like, for shepherds, church leaders, people who lead the church. Last week, I think we went through something. I was showing you how shepherds come in different forms, isn't it? Right? You remember the example with the female? We called her different names at different... So deacon is one of those names that can well fit the word shepherd. Amen. And the Bible says you obtain a good degree. Can you switch the version and you see what I'm talking about? It says you become respectable. You know, it's a high office. Do you get it? It's a high office to be a shepherd. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Yes. It says when you do well as a deacon, you will be rewarded with respect from others. So it means that it is a highly respectable role to become a shepherd. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's one of the higher things in the church. You can be in any place. You can, like if you take a hospital, for example, when you go to the hospital, there are so many different people who work in a hospital. Right from the parking lot attendant, he's one of the hospital employees. You get it? You can be in a room with five people and all of them will say, I work for Kaiser Hospital. You get it? And it will look like they mean the same thing. But they don't. Isn't it? One of them works at the Kaiser Hospital as the one who opens the gate when people are coming to park their cars. Isn't it? Then another one is the surgeon at the place. So you can be there as anything. And of course, they are not paid the same. Isn't it? So I'm asking you, if you had to choose, you know, if you could just wish it and have it, which one would you be? Right? You would be the surgeon. Yeah. Even if you don't like surgery, even for the fact that it is the highest paid one, the most rewarded one, that's the one you choose. Isn't it? Yes. So in a church also, you can be in the church as a nobody. You can be in the church as a member. You can be in the church as a sit-around type of person, you know, come a sitting star. Yeah? You get it? Or just a coming star. You get it? Yes, you can be in a church as the lowest person in the church. Just come around, just be around. That's it. Or you can be in the church as one of the highly respected people in the church. Are you getting the picture? Yes, you can be in the church. And the Bible says, those who do these kind of jobs, they purchase for themselves respect and honor in the church. Can I have an amen? So I don't want you to just come to church and be a nobody and just be around. If you're going to be in the church, then why don't you become one of the more important people in the church? What do you think? Yes, you want to be one of the more important people in the church. Even at your workplace, you want to be one of the more important people. Is it not true? Yes, that's why people fight for promotion. Everybody wants to become one of the more important people around. It's only in a church that people want to be the least important. People want to have no responsibility, especially so that when I don't come to church, nobody is asking for me. Yes. So in a church, people are always drawing backwards and they're trying to become the nobody in the church. Whereas at work, people are always trying to put themselves forward. Yes. So that they become somebody in the place. Hallelujah. But that is reversing from today in the name of Jesus. Those who do well as deacons will be rewarded with respect from others and will have increased confidence in their faith in Christ Jesus. I don't know what that one means, but it sounds like a good thing. Isn't it? I think faith in Christ Jesus is good. Confidence is also good. So increased confidence in faith in Christ Jesus must be a good thing. Isn't it? Yes. They'll be more sure and more solid. You know, many times I've had people say to me, sometimes someone will say, I wish I was as strong in the faith as you are. Do you see? What they are referring to is my confidence in my faith. Do you understand? Because I don't have a shadow of doubt. There are some of you, occasionally you get visits of thoughts, you know, flashes of thoughts, you know, is Christianity the right faith? What if we were all wrong? What, you see, these kinds of questions that occur to you from time to time, me, I'm past that. Yeah, I don't have those kinds of thoughts at all. It never occurs to me, you know, I mean, not anymore. It used to be some time ago, years ago. Yes, it used to be when I used to ask questions. So what if we were all wrong and the other group is right? I used to ask those kinds of questions. But I think that over the years, I've seen God do so much. Do you understand that the proof for me now is beyond reasonable doubt? Are you getting what I'm saying? So I don't have the... I've seen God, even things he hasn't done for me, I've seen him do for others. Do you understand? Such that even God forbid if I was to be sick and not be healed by the Lord, it would not... I won't doubt that Jesus is a healer. Because I've seen him heal many people. I've seen Jesus work miracles in people's lives. I've seen impossible situations. You know, even sometimes I've prayed for people. And yes, I prayed believing. But honestly, when God answered the prayer, I was taken aback. Yes, I was actually surprised. I was surprised that this impossible situation that we prayed about has actually turned around. Even sometimes we're watching Healing Jesus Crusade, the Healing Jesus campaign, and some of the miracles, you see that even the evangelist himself, he looks surprised. It's like, do you mean Jesus did this for you? Yeah. And then sometimes he'll be calling for others, even doctors, to come and examine the person. And you can see grown-ups, they are standing there. They are saying, I came like this, and now Jesus has healed me. And you are surprised that Jesus can do such a thing. But the person is not an idiot. He's standing there. He says, Jesus has healed him. You see them crying. So many things are happening. You can't help but just to join their faith. Believe what they believe. So for me, by the grace of God, I think that I am past that. But you get to that place, according to the Bible, one of the ways to approach confidence in your faith in Christ is when you become a shepherd. Hallelujah. Yes. When you look after sheep, you will see what Jesus will do for the sheep. And you come to a place where without a doubt, you know that Jesus is real. Yes. Your own life doesn't have enough episodes in it. Do you follow what I'm saying? Yes, your own life doesn't have enough episodes in it just to establish that confidence. So it is what you hear and see Jesus do for others. Like Brother Moses was sharing his testimony. And by the way, it looks like it's Moses and Michelle. They are the two people that Jesus is doing things for in this church. They should give us the secret. We need to see them as a church. They should tell us what's the secret that has made God love this couple so much, doing so many things for them. Do you get it? But as he was sharing the testimony, you get it? He's sharing the testimony. He says, I thank God for Apostle and I thank God for Bishop and so on. He was just saying, and I was just thinking, me, what did I do? Do you get it? But you see that a little shepherding work that I did with him has brought so much into his life, you know, and he's now thanking God for my life. Do you understand? Yes. How will I not be more confident in my faith? Of course, I will now be more confident in my prayers. Yes, so now if I get another one of you in that situation, I'll pray with confidence. I'll tell you, kneel down now. Let me pray one of those prayers I prayed for Moses. I'll put you on your knees. Yeah. Yes. Confidence in the faith. Confidence in the faith. Yeah. And it didn't come from a testimony I have. But it came from a testimony that my sheep has. I've become more confident in the faith. Do you understand? And then his respect for me goes higher. According to the Bible, it says that I will purchase for myself a good degree, a higher respect. Why would you not be a shepherd? Tell somebody, I'm becoming a shepherd. Hallelujah. The next one, become a shepherd so that you can combine material and spiritual progress. Amen. Now, 1 Timothy 6:6 says, godliness with contentment is great gain. Godliness plus contentment equals great gain. It is a great gain to be both godly and, you know, contentment, right? Can you switch the version again? Switch the version again. And let's read that. Right? It says, yet true religion with contentment is great wealth. Amen. True religion with contentment is great wealth. Now, this one is talking about, you know, having a godly part and then also having, you know, your material part also satisfied. Are you getting it? Yes. That godliness, you are combining both. You find sometimes people who do very well secularly, but who are bankrupt spiritually. Do you understand? Yes. You should never forget that Jesus said that if a man gains the whole world and he loses his soul, he made a loss. So it doesn't matter how much money you have at the bank. It doesn't matter, you know, how many academic laurels you are able to amass. It doesn't matter how many cars you own. Doesn't matter how many buildings you have. If you lose your soul on the other side, if you put your soul on a scale and you put all the buildings and everything on the other part of the scale, it says that your soul will just jack up everything like that. It will put everything out of balance. Hallelujah. So it shows that spiritual things are very weighty. Do you understand? So it is good. As you go to school, you get a degree. You're going to get a good job. After that, you're going to be known as Dr. Lawson or Professor Lawson. Yeah. Professor Lawson. Yes. Yeah. This week I was looking for my sheep. I couldn't find him. Then I found my sheep in a photograph somewhere. Anyway, that's you sit down. That's after church. It's for after church. After church. After church. I have to look for it. Yes. Right. So, you know, it's great to be Dr. Lawson and it's great to be Professor whatever. Do you see what I'm saying? But now, what about combining it with something spiritual? Do you understand? So that as you're winning here, you're winning there also. What do you think? So you don't become somebody out of balance. You've gone so high on the left, but so low on the right. What do you think? Yes. And we need all kinds of shepherds anyway. We need all kinds of shepherds. We need different kinds of people and different kinds of shepherds. So we need educated shepherds too. What do you think? Yes. We need shepherds who make sense to educated people. Shepherds who can answer their questions intelligently. Do you understand? Yes. Otherwise, you will have a shepherd when someone asks you a question, then you're going to just listen. This question is not spiritual. Come on. Let's speak in tongues then. This, our church, was founded by a doctor who was a medical student even then. Can you imagine that someone is in medical school and he starts a church that has become what this has become? A medical student who's become, like a few weeks ago, Archie was here. Yes. You saw Archie here, yes? And Archie is only in third year in medical school. She's 23 years old. She was telling me the other day, the ambassadors come to her church. Yeah, some of the ambassadors of whatever country in Cuba, that's their shepherd. Wow. Yeah, it's a kind of shepherd. Yes, and it hasn't cost her medical school. But you may actually find out when you finish medical school that you enjoy shepherding far more than patienting. Do you see? Yes? So combine it. Say amen. Amen. Tell somebody, combine the two. Combine the two. Ask them, what do you do? Where do you work? Ask them, what do you do? What are you doing right now? Okay. When they tell you what they do, then ask them, can you combine it with some shepherding? Some shepherding? Yes. Yes. Because there are some of us, the work that we are doing, it doesn't come with much respect. True or false? Yes, it pays the bills, true, but it doesn't come with much respect. So if you don't add shepherding to augment the whole personality a little bit, then you are just going down. What do you think? True or false? Yes. In some places, when the job doesn't come with much respect, it often doesn't come with much pay. It's true. But over here, there are many jobs that come with enough pay, but zero respect. So you'll be paying your bills all right, but nobody even pays attention to you. You don't make a difference anywhere. But when you become, so when you combine the two, then you have a chance to make a difference. And the difference you make will determine the respect that you get. Can I have an amen? Amen. Hallelujah. I see you becoming one of those great shepherds. Number 8, become a shepherd because people are hungry for the truth. Become a shepherd because people are hungry for the truth. People are hungry for the truth. Ezekiel 34 and verse 2, he said, "Should not the shepherds feed the flocks? Should not the shepherds feed the flocks?" People are hungry for the truth. Amen. Amen. Yes. And number 9, many people are spiritually hungry. Number 9, many people are spiritually hungry. So people want to know the truth. And then people also have a spiritual longing in them. Amen. And that is the case. Recently, somebody was asking me a question. And I could see that there is actually a hunger for the truth. You see, that people may not want church. But it doesn't mean people don't want truth. Are you following what I'm saying? Because church has come not to necessarily represent the truth. Do you see what I'm saying? So for many people, church is just an institution. It's just a place that people go to. So it should be a function of whether you enjoy going there or not. Or whether it is, okay, people put it at the same level as something like a gym. You get it? Like, what do you do on Sunday mornings? I go to church, this one goes to LA Fitness, this one, you know, things like, it's the same sort of level. But it's not, like, when someone tells you he's going to LA Fitness, you don't get the feeling that he's going to some place for truth. You get it? Or that he will be enlightened spiritually or anything. No, he's just going to exercise and that's it. And if you have a bike in your room, you don't feel like he's better off than you. You see what I'm saying? It's just an alternate place. Yeah, and that's how people see church now. But it doesn't mean that people are not hungry for the truth. People have questions. People have questions, I tell you. They have not come to know the church as having the answer. Because unfortunately, there are also many churches that have so many complexities that the people are gradually not looking up to the church for those answers. And there are some too who just purely don't know that the answer is there in the church because they have not been told by anybody. There's a whole generation of people who don't go to church, have never been to church. These days it's common to meet people who've never been to a church before. Never. I think one day somebody came here to church and he told us that was his first time in a church. So he doesn't even know what happens in a church. He has no idea what happens in a church. And it's possible. There are some of you who've never been to a nightclub before. You don't know what happens in a nightclub. Yes. Yeah, John Jack knows. That's okay. John Jack knows. He knows. He knows. I'm just saying there are others who don't. But John Jack knows. Yes. What do you call those places where they smoke? The other day we were almost going to eat one. What was it? A hookah bar. Yeah, a hookah bar. Yeah, have you been to a hookah bar before? No. Do you know what happens there? No. You don't know. So, in the same way, there are people who've never been to a church before. Nobody they know goes to church. Just like there's no one in your life who will invite you to a hookah bar. So that, I mean, it's just so far removed from you, you will never encounter one. Do you understand? But there's a community of people who go there every time and who people who know people who go there and who invite them there. You get it? And that's why if you also don't invite people to church, there are people who will never stray into a church. Their lifestyle does not tend towards a church. And there are some who have formed ideas about church which are false. It's not true. But it does not change the fact that they are hungry. Listen, if you don't like what is being served, it doesn't cancel the hunger. Being hungry is one thing. Appreciating the solution to the hunger is another thing. But the fact that you don't like the food that is being served doesn't mean you are no longer hungry. That's my point. So people may not go to church. True. But people are still hungry for the truth. Because there's a vacuum in man that is still yearning for something. And you can tell, even from what people are doing. That's why anybody who seems to have a little or offer a little glimpse into something a little extra outside the ordinary seems to get an audience for what he's doing. Yes, if you go to Hollywood Boulevard and you go to Sunset Boulevard and those places, you have a whole lot of psychics and so on there. Do you know what it costs to rent one of those places? To rent a place on Hollywood Boulevard is very expensive. But these people are in business over there because there's a market for what they do. to look into someone's palm and tell them something. You get it? Yeah? I mean, that has to be the easiest job. Because one, they can't read it themselves. Do you understand? They can't read it themselves. So they have no way of even verifying that what you're reading is true. It must be the easiest job. So those of you who are looking for jobs, there is no training, there's no qualification required. I don't know of it. Do you know what you can study in school to do that? I don't know. I don't know which college offers that. Psychology? Who studies some psychology? Who's studying some psychology? Who? Ine. Where's Ine? Who's studying some psychology to tell us if she can be a palm reader? But there's a market for it, I tell you. Yes, that you can look into somebody's palm and read something and just tell them,
And for money.
Wow. I can see the money bags. 4 money bags and the 2 small bags. Yeah, and even those small bags are trash bags. I thought that was the next thing he was going to say. Do you see? Why do you think there's a business like that? You see them on television. Do you know what it means to be on television for just 30 minutes? And these people can afford hours. They can afford a whole hour on television. Just telling people to call in. They should just call in. They should just call in. And you call in and they'll read it on the side and they'll read tarot cards and they'll tell you. I mean, you can't even challenge it. Can you challenge it? You can't. You can't. Yeah. Otherwise, you'll buy your own cards. You can't. But they are in business because people are hungry for the truth. People are hungry for the truth. People are hungry for someone to tell them about their fears. You get it? They are hungry for someone to give them counseling on what to do. People are hungry for someone who will help them to know that there is hope. Someone who will encourage them. Someone who can let them know that the future is bright. It's in the hands of the Lord. People need these kinds of people. Don't you find yourself needing such a person? Don't you have days when you wish someone will encourage you? Someone will help you? Someone will speak words of encouragement to you. We all have those days. So people are hungry for that. People are hungry for the right shepherds. Amen. And we need more shepherds. Amen. Do you understand? Yeah. We need more shepherds. We need male shepherds. We need female shepherds. Because sometimes you see when male shepherds have to shepherd female sheep. Do you understand? It presents a problem. You get it? Yeah. And we don't want that. Because that's not the purpose. Do you get it? Because as it is, you know, sheep easily climb sheep. You get it? That's as it is. Do you get it? And we are learning to deal with that and to control that. Do you understand? Now what you don't want is a shepherd climbing sheep. That's not something we can deal with. That's too much. DJ, that's too much. Too much. Have it, is what I'm saying true? Yes. Huh? That a shepherd can climb a sheep. I mean, what would you do if you were driving home this afternoon and then you see one of the fields, you see one of the sheep, and then you see a shepherd trying to... Why? Okay. This part of the sermon has it. understanding what I'm sharing with you? Yes. And that makes the shepherding work, it's one of the hazards of the shepherding work. Are you following what I'm saying? Yes. It's one of the hazards. And sometimes you have to, you see, when people hear about shepherds who are falling, then they get so judgmental. Do you understand? They get so judgmental and they criticize them and they accuse them. But the reason is that some people have to do that work because there's a shortage of shepherds. If you would add yourself to the pool, maybe he wouldn't have had to go follow up that person. But sometimes shepherds have to get their feet dirty because of where they went and because of the work that they are doing. If we can have more shepherds, if we can have more female shepherds, maybe we wouldn't have male shepherds going to try to follow up female shepherds. And the opposite too. What do you think? Yes. So you should watch. You'll be surprised that you may be criticizing someone and God likes the person even for trying. For trying. And whenever there's a shortage of something, you know, the door is wide open because it's an emergency. The Bible says Jesus saw them. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35, it says that Jesus had preached everywhere and yet he saw multitudes that were without a shepherd. That's when he said the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. Then he said, pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send forth laborers. The shortage is real. Are you getting it? Yes. Whenever there's a shortage, you see that we have to let in people who are not even so qualified. But we just add them. We just add them. Because when there's an emergency, anyone. Yes. If you were in an accident and your car was overturned and you saw smoke starting to come out of the car and then somebody jumped off his motorbike and he started to help to remove you from the car, are you going to ask him for his, what's your CPR or EMT certificate? You know, where are all those? Can you go and bring them? I'm waiting for you. Is that what you're going to do? Yeah. When there's a shortage, we take what we get. Isn't it? Yes. When someone passes out and he's not speaking, non-responsive, and you're calling the person and saying, Zola, Zola, and the person is not answering, and you're beginning to panic, then suddenly the person responds and says, idiot. Would you not take it like that? You would just praise the Lord. At least she said something. So when there's a shortage, we take what we get. That is why you see some pastors, they don't look like they are perfect. They don't look like they are great. You think that such a person should not be a pastor. Why is such a person a shepherd? Because there's a shortage. There's a shortage. And people are hungry. People are hungry. You wonder why people go to some churches because maybe you know a thing or two about the pastor. It's because people are hungry. He may have all his faults, but he has what they need. That's it. Can I have an amen? Amen. How many are going to join this elite group, special people in the house of God called shepherds? How many are going to join? Yes. We are all becoming shepherds by the grace of God. Amen. And the last one, people become a shepherd because people need to be visited and strengthened. People need to be visited and strengthened. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 2. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 2. Wow. Jeremiah chapter 23 and verse 2. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, against the pastors that feed my people, you have scattered my flock and driven them away and have not visited them. Then he says, behold, I will visit upon you the evil of your doings. Hallelujah. People need to be visited. Can you see that? And the Lord is upset with pastors because they have not visited his people. Amen. How many have been visited before and the visit was a blessing to you? We're just closing. How many of you have been visited before? How many of you wish someone would come and visit you? Raise your hand. Let me see. Okay. Let's raise up your hand. Let's see. Let's start counting. LP Michelle, Pastor Charles. These are the people who need visits. I thought they'll be frightened by this verse. I'm against the pastors. Do you see? But this is one of the reasons why people are not being visited, because everybody wants a visit. They're thinking about themselves. But whatever you do, you can't run away from the reality that people need visits. Even the pastors who are saying, yes, it's true. They need to be visited. Because there's nothing like a visit. Jesus came to visit us on this earth. And the earth has never remained the same. Whether we accept him or not, at least. Even we are confused about whether he's who he claimed to be or not. But that is still even an impact. Why can't people stop talking about Jesus and arguing about Jesus? It's one of the proofs that there must be more to him than that he's a mere man. What do you think? Yes. People need to be visited. When someone comes to visit you, it makes a big difference. When you are visited, it's like the preaching has been brought down to your house. Do you understand? Yes. When you are visited, it's like the church is brought to your house. Your questions can be answered. You can have prayer the way you want it. After the person finishes praying for you, you can say, oh, excuse me, can you pray about this one also? When they finish that, oh, I forgot one thing. Can you add this one? Do you understand? Yes. Visits change lives. Visits change lives. Amen? Yes. Let me see those of you who said visits affected you. Raise up your hand again. Let me see. How many of you received a visit? Somebody visited you and it affected you. Obasi, somebody visited you? Who visited you? Pastor Charles and Moses and Jean-Jacques. They came to visit you. And what was the effect of that?
I hadn't seen them in a long time.
You hadn't seen them in a long time, uh-huh.
Yeah, and due to me like being at school and football and everything,
right?
And it just felt good to see them. So, yeah.
It felt good to see them. Yeah, it's a blessing. It's a blessing. Yes. Yes. Who else was visited? Who else was visited? Who visited you?
Besides Pastor Paul, when I went to Alabama, the pastor from Alabama came to my aunt's house with his wife just to visit me. And
came to visit you?
Yes.
The pastor in Alabama. Alabama.
Yeah, he came all the way to where I was staying at my aunt's house just to visit me and talk with me for like an hour and a half. And I felt like I was with family.
Wow. Wow. Caitlin, who visited you?
LP Sarah visited me. And Pastor Paul also visited me.
This one?
Yes, this one.
Okay.
Yes, and it was great. It made me feel special that I was cared about enough to come to my house and drive far. Because, you know, you guys
wow.
Far. So I felt very
made me feel special. Mm-hmm. You see, so all this time you were coming to church, you were not feeling special.
No, that's not true. It was just extra. I feel like it was
extra, extra special.
Yeah.
Like extra cheese on the pizza.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
A double double.
Like a double double.
Yeah.
No, but it's true. I mean, I don't even know why you feel special just keep when you come to church. Because you come to church, you choose your seat, you are sitting there, you sing your song, you do what you want. Nobody pays any special attention to anyone. So I'm not surprised if you're in the church and you don't feel special. That's how you're supposed to feel. But it is the visit that singles you out. Do you understand? And that attention you get, that personal attention, they're in your space, on your terms. They sit where you tell them to sit. It's too fantastic. And it changes lives. Hallelujah. So we need more people to visit. Our church needs more people to visit our members. Do you see what I'm saying? Yes? I can't visit everyone. Do you see what I'm saying? Yeah, I used to do that, but these days I have other things that also, you know, need my attention, and I can't visit everyone like I used to. There was a time when if you came to the church, I would visit you by all means that week. Yeah. Go. I used to go with Pastor Munene. Sometimes would go visit the person. Yeah. Sometimes even the people were surprised. Why do we want to visit them? Yes. And we just tell them, we want to return your visit. You visited us. We want to visit you back. Yeah. And it helped to establish a lot of people. Amen. Now we need you also. Remember, it says there's a time when you now have to be the teacher. Do you see? And if at that time you are now calling again for teaching, then it says you are a baby. That's why I'm coming here. Hallelujah. So I want all of you to join the pool of shepherds. Can I have an amen? I said, you're going to join the pool of shepherds. And Jesus is going to love you. I tell you, you'll be special to Jesus. When you are special to Jesus, it's a very important place to be. It means he will answer your prayers. He says, we'll come to you. We will come to you. My Father and I will come to you. And we'll make our abode with you. Our presence will be with you. Amen. And you should be afraid of people who carry the presence of God around them. Their prayers are answered. They have angels with them all the time. Yeah, they have angels with them all the time. You may know them to be bad people, but when God is on their side, yeah? Do you know, let me end with this. Do you know how sometimes criminals decide to cooperate with the law enforcement to help them catch other criminals? Yeah. So you see, the person is a drug dealer, but he has joined the right side. Do you get it? So now he has the backing of police, even though he's a drug dealer. And he becomes very special to the police. And now the police protects him. They protect his family. Everything he needs, they give him. Even though he's a bad boy. But it's because he decided to do something that serves the interests of the police. And the police say, you know what? It's not a problem. We'll forgive him. Yeah, he's so drugged, so what? He's helping us do something that's more important to us. And such people become very important to them. Yeah. So you may not be a perfect person, but you join the right side. Do you understand? Join God. Join Jesus in being a shepherd of the sheep. Hallelujah. There's no better thing you can do with your life than to join the group of people who become, are called shepherds, looking after God's people. What a blessing it will be for your life. Hallelujah.
stand to your feet and ask the Lord this afternoon. Tell the Lord you want to be a shepherd. Ask God to help you. You know, I want everybody just come. Those of you at the back, just come closer and just join us in this prayer. Just come up right there. Yeah, just come right there and let's all pray together. Hold somebody's hand. We're going to take just 5 minutes to pray. Just pray and say, Lord, let this be a church of shepherds. Let it be a church of shepherds. We want to be shepherds. I want to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. Oh, yes. Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I want to be a shepherd. Everybody pray and just ask God to make you one of those shepherds. Father, we are praying today that you will make us shepherds in the name of Jesus. We want to be shepherds of the sheep, Lord. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, Maka Farababaya Bolu Shandari Alababa, Elo Sandari Alaba Kandari Alaba Bo Shandari Alaba. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Now, one more prayer. I want you to pray and say, Lord, in 2020, I want to be relevant in your house. I don't want to be one who just comes and goes. I want to be one who is relevant. I want to be one who adds to what happens here. I want to be one who helps others. New people, young people, different kinds of people who need different kinds of care. I want to be one that you can use, Lord. In 2020, Lord, use me. Please use me in the name of Jesus. Everybody, let's pray. Let's pray. So in 2020, let it be the year a turning around must occur in my life. Let it be my year of a turnaround. I don't want to be someone who just comes and goes. I want to be someone you can use and be relevant in your house in the name of Jesus. Yes, let's pray. Bring that need
to the Lord. Bring that need to the Lord. Bring that problem to the Lord. Bring that matter to the Lord. That matter that only God can do something about. Bring that to the Lord. Bring it to the Lord. Makam. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You who hears prayer. You who hears prayer. You who hears prayer, Lord, answer. Hear our prayers and answer from above. Hear our prayers and answer from above. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Now, one final prayer that's just on my heart right now. Just You know, we want to pray for our members, any member, anybody who's been to church, who hasn't been to church in a while. We want to pray for them. You may know someone, maybe you invited them to church, you brought them to the church, but we haven't seen them in a while. Or it looks even as though they've stopped coming to church. Now you want to put on your cap of a shepherd and start finding your sheep and start praying for your sheep and pray for them right now. We're going to mention them by name before the Lord and say, Lord, I'm praying for Brother John. I'm praying for so and so. I'm praying for this person, Lord. I want you to be with him, Lord. I want you to bring him back to the fold. I want you to speak to his heart, touch his heart, Lord. I'm doing the work of a shepherd. I'm seeking the sheep, Lord. And I don't want him to be lost. I don't want her to be lost. So, Lord, bring that person back. Let's pray. Let's pray right now in the name of Jesus. Just think of the sheep, who it is that is lost or that appears to be lost. Just pray. Find them in the spirit right now and fight for them. Defend them and bring them back home in the name of Jesus. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you. We thank you for the privilege of being called shepherds, shepherds of your flock. We thank you for the privilege. We pray, Lord, that in 2020, we will be relevant in your house. We want to be more like Jesus. We want to be able to say we are good shepherds. We are joining the fold of the shepherds. In the name of Jesus. Instead of being ones who have to be looked for and searched for, we want to be the ones who will search for others. In the name of Jesus. We are moving, Lord, from being the searched for to the ones who will do the searching, Lord. In the name of Jesus. We want to be useful in your hands. So please help us. 2020, that is our request. That's our heart's desire. In the name of Jesus. Let all the missing sheep, let all the lost sheep, let them be brought back to the fold, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Let all the lost sheep find their way back home, Lord. As we begin to search for them. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. For your blessing in Jesus' name. Now, as we close the service, maybe you're here and you want to give your life to Jesus, or you want to rededicate your life to Jesus. This is an opportunity for you to do so. Or maybe you're watching us online or listening to the podcast, but you know in your heart that you have strayed away from God. You've gone very far from God. Jesus is inviting you. The chief shepherd is calling you back home. He's calling you back to his care. He's calling you back to his house. And I want to give you that opportunity to pray that prayer. If you're here like that, you can lift up your right hand and pray with me. Or you can join us online as we say this prayer together. Say with me, Lord Jesus. Say it again. Say, Lord Jesus. I thank you for dying for me. I believe with my heart that you are Lord. And I confess with my mouth that God raised you from the dead. Please come into my heart. Forgive my sins, Lord. Let your blood wash me. Let your blood cleanse me. And make me a child of God. Say, Lord Jesus, I know I have strayed from your house. I know I have strayed from your presence. But Lord, bring me back to you. You are all I want. Please bring me back to you. Restore the joy of my salvation. And restore my close fellowship with you. Thank you, Jesus, for hearing my prayer. And everybody says, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Go ahead and clap your hands properly for the Lord. Amen. Amen. How many are blessed today? How many are glad you came to church? Hallelujah.
Right. Let's take a moment to have communion, and then we will get ready to close. Amen. Just bring the communion round. And our lives have just begun. In the Spirit, we are young, and we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather around the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood. Shout together to the Lord, who has promised our reward. Happiness 100-fold, and we'll live forever. Sons of God, hear His holy word. Gather round the table of the Lord. Eat His body, drink His blood, and we'll sing a song of love. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
All right, does everybody have communion? Everybody has communion now? Okay. Now we're going to join Bishop as he prays with us as we receive our communion. We want to join our prophet, our man of God, as he prays with us. Amen.
It's time for Holy Communion. Now, the Bible says the cup of blessing which we bless. The cup of blessing. The cup of blessing. Is it not the cup? Is it not the communion? So this is a blessing that we are going to take. And it's going to neutralize anything that is working against you. And I think it is God's power that has happened to us. That is why we are having communion every week now. Because in our church, we never use. In the Old Testament, when a woman is caught in adultery or she's suspected, they will give her a cup to drink. And if she drinks it and her stomach swells, then she'll be considered as guilty. So that cup that they drank was seen as the curse, that the curse will work if the sin is there. So the cup we are about to drink, it is a cup of blessing, not of a curse. Hallelujah. So as it goes into you, a blessing is going into you. And it's a very, very, very great thing. That's why I don't have golden cups as a priest when I'm doing communion. Do you know why? So that it's easy. You don't need golden cups. When I have golden cups, I have to do so many rituals. Before I realize, it will come on once a year. But all these make it possible for us to be receiving more. Derek Prince said he has communion every day. Wow. So today we are going to drink a blessing. So not knowing that blessings can be drunk. Stand to your feet and let's take the bread. Blessings can be eaten and drunk. Throughout 2020, the blessing of God on your life will be evident. Father, thank you for the power. power in this bread as we eat it. It is now the body of Jesus Christ. Heal us of our curses and whatever we have invoked upon ourselves. Thank you. In Jesus' name. The body of Jesus Christ. Now the cup of blessing. As you drink this cup, you are receiving a full blessing from the Lord. The blood of Jesus Christ. Now, no movement. I want you to lift your hands and begin to pray. Throughout 2020, you shall not bury anyone in your family. Begin to pray right now. Kando shata masato maka baranda la manda la barama. Harimam dalamanda rimonda baramanda rimonde baramanda shakela. Isaiah 65, verse 20. There shall no more hence thence an infant of days, nor an old man that has not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years, but the sinner being 100 years old shall be accursed. This is a blessing that God is saying, that when you are 100, cry, you are accursed. It's like you didn't grow old. No more will there be any infant or old man,
Jesus,
in our midst who has not fulfilled his or her days.
Yes.
In 2020,
yes,
there will be no occasion for weeping and mourning and crying and sorrowing in your life. Lift your hand and begin to declare and pray. Matapa la ramanda sheka baraba basando la mara madabalanda. Thank you, Lord. Still in Isaiah 65, it says, they shall not build and another inhabit. That's 22. And they shall not plant and another will eat it. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. My elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Let us lift our hands and ask God that this scripture will practically come to pass. My elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Begin to pray. Jesus, 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 Jesus. Matthew 18:19. If two of you shall agree concerning anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them. Look at it. It shall be done for them. It shall.
We're going to pray a prayer of agreement right now. Just hold one person's hand and just say, I'm agreeing with you concerning something in my life. And the Bible says, if two of you shall agree, it shall be done for them. So just mention something you want the person to agree with you on. We're going to practice that scripture right now. Just mention, I want you to agree with me on this, on this. Anything, just anything. Just two. I want to pass my exams. I want a new job. I want a new car.
I want a new this. Just two. Agree. All right. Let's pray right now. Let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray. Makabo shatala babaya. Mokatala babam. Midolobo shatala bakatala bala babaya. Ekodo shendele bekanariala baba bara baba. Ekaramala mashatala baba katariala baba. Mikoro sedele bekatariala babaya. Mikamala mamu shandariala babam. Emolo shaka farababu shindikefa. Emolo shaka farababa. Ebalababa moshindikefa lababa. Ekanabalababu shandariala babu shakatariala. Ekanabalaba shakatariala moshindika farababa. Ekanababala moshindikefa balabalabalabalabalaba. Ekamu shandariala babu shindikefa lababa. Emolo shaka farama shandariala babu. Jesus, thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for the blessing of longevity. Thank you. Thank you. The scripture says we will not die young anymore. The mourning shall stop. Thank you. The things that bring tears to our eyes, they have lost their power. Amen. In 2020. Amen. And we thank you for your blessing in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. Amen. All right, you may be seated.